sort of carrying on reviewing what God said last year, what God did last year, how we can engage with where we go from here. And prophetically, God has called us to be sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32. Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times, we include women in that as well, generic everyone, understand the times with a knowledge of what Israel should do. So we need to understand what God's doing, what the times and seasons we're in, so we understand how to operate within that and how to administrate that. 1 Chronicles 7:5, the relatives among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor. And the reason for us associating with that, needing courage, just as Joshua was called to be bold and courageous, if we're going to be forerunners, which is what our calling is, to engage in other new things and help others to come that way, then we're going to have to be courageous and willing to go before others and help. Just like Joshua and Caleb in the Joshua generation, they spied out the land, the promises beyond. Yes, there were giants. Yes, there were problems. Yes, there were obstacles, but their report was good. By all means, we can take this because God will give it to us. So for us, it's the same thing. We're operating according to prophetic timetable. God has been, over the last 40 years, preparing his people through a call to intimacy, a gathering and removing of stumbling blocks. So we've seen the wine of the Spirit poured out, the fire of the Spirit. And we're in that place where God's judgment is on his household. And we're going to look at that in a little bit more depth today. But we expect to see judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. And we're looking to be ready for a harvest of laborers. And that harvest is 1 billion people. So maybe 20% of the population God wants to bring in. And that's not the harvest that God wants. That's just the laborers for the harvest. So there will be a final harvest in which those laborers operating in the supernatural dimensions of God's kingdom and power will be sent out to bring the kingdom to the world, to see the glory of God fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lots of prophetic words about that. But in the meantime, we have to be ready. So that's what God's calling us to do right now. And in it's another way of describing that diagram, overlapping periods of time. But in this time, we're seeing increasing in the shaking of things. We're seeing increasing a new order, ecclesias being established under a new form of government, apostolic resource centers, embassies of heaven, the heavenly governmental aspects of the kingdom being released, and we're seeing the unveiling of the order of Melchizedek continually. And Jesus calls people to him irrespective of the time. You know, he wants people in relationship with him. So he's always calling us. So we can always respond. People may never have heard him call before, but when he calls, there's a time to respond. And for us, God will call us in different ways as we move on. Last week, we looked at the 12 chancellor's houses and the different areas of governmental in heaven, precepts, statutes, laws, ordinances, working together, ordinances, mantles, weapons, scrolls, discoveries, commissioning, culture, affairs of the nations, treasury, back to precepts. And the important thing is, in a heavenly worldview and a godly worldview, the end always meets the beginning, which brings new life. So precepts meet precepts at the end and the beginning, which establishes the opportunity of starting again. So we've been engaging with something called sacred geometry, a revelation of where God, as the mathematician who created the whole universe, was revealing how that works. And we've seen this in pictures of something called Metatron's cube. Metatron is the chief angel of the order of the Chaos, the living creatures, and is keykeeper and timekeeper of the heavenly realms. So if we're going to understand the times of seasons, it's really important that we understand the keykeeper and the timekeeper of those seasons, who opens and closes things. And, you know, God has assigned that angel a particular role. That's a diagrammatic expression of the order of the Metatron's cube, and you see various shapes, circles, intersecting dimensions. I'm not going to go into that because I don't understand it fully, but how the seven different spheres and the 12 different spheres and the 3 different spheres, they're all in there. And God is looking to unveil to us how to administrate that. Not that it's just a mysterious thing that we're just looking at it clueless, but he's going to show us how he's ordered everything. And when God gave Moses the tablets, actually the actual word for tablets is actually cube. And he gave him a sapphire cube representing this governmental order. Of course, it got smashed because of their refusal to accept their relationship with God. And now God is wanting to restore it. So we see, when we're looking at the 12 chapters houses, that they're aligned, and each four open up the next four to come. And eventually we get precepts back to precepts to re-establish a new season. So when I was looking at this, I asked God to give me some revelation of what this meant. What are precepts and things? And this is what he said. My precepts are the foundation of the beginning. I am my eternal nature and character, the fullest expression of who I am. The foundation of righteousness, the fullest demonstration of love revealed in pure light. My heart revealed the why of creation. My statutes are the fullest expression of how I see and perceive everything, my worldview. The lens through which all things from the largest galaxy to the smallest particles are observed. My observation that enables the existence of all things. Now, you know, as I said, God created everything, therefore understands quantum physics and quantum mechanics and relativity theory, because actually he established it all. We just discovered it. You know, I think some people think science creates things. It doesn't. It just discovers what God has already established. So God's observation is why everything can exist. And quantum physically, they actually say if something isn't observed, it isn't existing. And God is basically saying here, he observes everything, and that's what causes our existence. My mind revealed the what of creation. My laws, the principles that enable all things to exist, that which holds everything together. The divine cogs of existence from the relative to the quantum, my voice revealed the how of creation. Now, I'm just sharing this really briefly. I mean, you could spend a long time going through and discovering what this really means. And if you feel drawn to that, go for it. It means you'll go deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God, because you'll have to discover who God is and how he expressed himself. And he's calling us to that. But some of you may feel at this point in time that this is a bit up there. But as we mature in sonship, we need to understand the precepts, statutes and laws of God, because it goes on. The three in one and the one in three, when aligned and unified in the perfect unison of oneness, enable my ordinances to be put in motion and my divine plan to be perfectly outworked. Now again, there are so many things in terms of God, understanding God as three in one and one in three, people have written theological tomes and have not even scratched the surface of what that really means, because it's a paradox that we don't understand, but we can experience. And God wants us to experience him deeper and deeper and deeper. Because in understanding him, he's called us to be joint heirs with him, to begin to administrate the created order for him as sons. So we need to understand how he did it so we can do it. Romans 8:27. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. God wants to reveal his heart and mind and will to us so that our hearts, minds, and wills will be aligned to his. Carries on in verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, in the previous things that I've just shared, is how he works all things together for good. So we need to understand that if we're looking to bring good and to administrate love into this creation. So all things work together for good as my word produces created order from eternal order. My will is revealed, the where and when of creation. Isaiah 2:3. For the law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And there's two aspects that God wants to reveal. There are 12 heavenly laws or principles from Mount Zion, and there are 12 earthly laws or principles from Jerusalem. Now, this is just a pictorial language to describe how God releases this. One's from heaven and one's into the earth. These form the foundations of the relationship and the responsibility of sonship. Now, some of them you will be very familiar with, and some you'll probably not have ever heard. So these principles are the written expressions of the Word made flesh, Jesus, the Logos of God, which is what we have written, that enabled and revealed the Rhema of God, the now Word. Because the Word of God is our plumb line and foundation, but God has not stopped speaking. He's continued to speak, and we need to hear him every day of our lives so that we can hear his word and get his direction. We don't just have to read the Bible to try and find out what God wants us to do. We can have a conversation with the living word, Jesus, who wants to reveal the way, the truth, and the life to us on a daily basis. So these principles that he's given us enable us to engage him in that way. This enables the transcendent to become the immanent so that man can exist in the I am relationship, and it is how sonship will bring restorative order back to creation. Now, when God says things like this to me, I don't understand them. So I have to then meditate on them and say, what does that mean? Then I look and say, transcendent. Oh, the God who is out there somewhere in everything actually becomes immanent, Jesus, who came onto this earth to demonstrate his love for me, so that I can exist in a relationship, because now he lives in me and I live in him. And that relationship will enable us to accept the responsibility of sonship that enables us to bring restoration to everything. Because God's purpose is to bring restoration to all things. Zechariah 3:7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, which is what we do according to the 12 laws that come out into the earth, and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house, have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. And this was spoken to Joshua the high priest, who was in the realm of heaven when he was experiencing this. So it's really important that we take note of that, having God calling us to engage in heaven today. So these two sets of principles are what enables us to walk in his ways and apply his principles so that we can rule the house. Now, what is the house? Well, you could say it's me as a house of God. You could say it's corporately the household of God. And so we can govern the courts and stand in the assemblies of God. And God wants us to participate in this process. And I know a lot of people think, well, I have a hard job just getting by every day, let alone govern the world. Well, that's why we need to go more deeply with God, be set free, brought into the freedom of truth, so that we can actually fulfill God's purpose and our destiny with him. God said this, learn to align my precepts, statutes, and laws, and my ordinances will become yours to direct. The times and seasons will be yours to establish and rule. Because God always intended that we would be responsible for these things, not subject to them. The symphony of heaven will once again be heard, and the music of the spheres will bring about a wondrous harmony between heaven and earth. It's always God's desire to bring harmony between heaven and earth, between time and eternity, between God and man. And there is a sound, there's a wonderful sound that when you hear it in the realms of heaven, and when you see more and more people coming and becoming part of that sound, that symphony of heaven is amazing. And it isn't one note, because a symphony is made up of a whole lot of orchestra playing different instruments, all producing a sound that make up that wonderful harmony that God wants to restore again. Because it was there in the beginning. It was there in eternity with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It was there in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and then it got messed up, and God wants to bring a restoration to it. Your light will once again shine, and you will restore order and balance between the heavens and the earth, so that time and eternity will converge in the ages to come. Because there are ages to come, it says, which is going to be fun to explore. Isaiah 6:8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And Isaiah responded, having been purified by the fire from the altar, and then he said, here am I, send me. Notice he didn't said, here am I, because he couldn't have used the phrase, I am, because I am is the name of God. But am I is a reflection of that name. So I am of God being reflected in the am I of sons. So we're supposed to be a reflection of who God is and to understand the I am so that we can be am I. So there are 12 laws that are released into this earth so that we can walk in his ways relationally. And Ian Clayton has done lots of teaching on these, but they're all very clear biblical principles of the kingdom. Things we need to understand if we're going to walk in his ways. The law of the spirit of life, the law of sin and death, the law of love, the law of faith, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of firstborn, the law of abundance, the law of justice, the law of righteousness, the law of judgment, the law of grace, and that are 12 principles that if we understand, we will be able to walk in his ways. Now you think, how do I understand all those? Well, there's lots of teaching out there. A lot of what we teach encompasses a lot of those things. The important thing is we walk by faith and not by sight. God is calling us to follow him. But there are heavenly laws as well. 12 laws established from Mount Zion, which is the mountain of God in the realms of heaven, to establish the protocols for exercising kingdom authority and to reveal how to walk in responsibility. Because his relationship with God is wonderful, but God calls us to be responsible in that relationship for sonship. So we need to understand how to do that. So there's the law of sacrifice, the law of resonance, the law of harmony, the law of time and space, the law of lordship, the law of kingship, the law of sonship, the law of creation, the law of legislation, the law of wisdom, the law of trade, and the law of chancellorship. Now, I don't think I've ever heard anyone express them, and there may be other names to describe what they are, but those are the names that God showed me. Now, over the next few years, we're going to look to understand those. We're already doing it, but I've not specifically taught it in each one, but the principles of this are underpinning everything we do. But we will go into it in more specifics, so that we'll understand this in a more clear way, because God wants us to be responsible as his children. God said this, Son, declare and decree the law of fatherhood and sonship and the law of transformation, which I did last year. I decree, and this is my response to that, and what I felt God lead me in my spirit to decree, I decree the fire of his eyes and mouth to be released onto the earth. Now we sing about the fire in his eyes, that never sleeps, and it doesn't ever sleep, and it's always available because God is a consuming fire. I decree a fiery sword of justice to be unsheathed and raised up. I decree the commissioning and releasing of the burning ones, let the seraphim arise. I decree walls of fire to be established on the earth around each reflection of heaven, because that's what God's looking for, a reflection of heaven on the earth. I decree ancient and new spiritual oil wells shall be dug in readiness. I decree the altar of burning hearts to be established and placed at the center. I decree the river of fire will flow from the throne of God in ever-increasing intensity. I decree the release of the transforming fire of heaven into our midst. Now, for those of you who felt a bit hot, well, you can blame me, because that's what God wants. He wants his presence to come in such a way that we begin to feel that intense need for transformation, to become like him. Not because he has a problem with what we are right now, but he loves us too much to leave us in the same state. He wants us to mature and become sons. God is love. His kingdom is and rule is all about love. Judgment, justice are expressions of his love, which is really important to understand because I'm going to share the court case that I made for judgment and justice. And if you don't understand it's based in love, then you can see it as quite a negative thing, but it isn't. God wants to reveal and express that love to us, to each of us, in an ever-deepening experience. It's like, I don't want my experience of God to be limited to when I got saved, when I got baptism in the Holy Spirit, or when I had my first encounter in heaven. I want it to be every day increasing and going deeper. So that love can become the motivating force and power of our life, and my life. I want to be motivated by his love, so I need to experience his love. An experience is not just knowing something in theory, it's having a personal encounter with it. So all of us are going to need to understand that love if we're going to legislate and rule with righteousness and justice, which is the foundation of God's throne. So God said this, get ready, make ready, for my judgment is here and it's coming in ever-increasing dimensions and levels. My eyes are searching to and fro throughout the earth for those whose hearts are truly mine. My eyes of fire are ready to pierce and bring the dividing line into everything. The fire of judgment is the fire that consumes and purifies. Call for the coming of the seraphim. Let the fires be stoked. Let the billows blow. Let the heat rise. The consuming fire of my judgment is coming to weigh everything, and the verdicts will give a season to respond and embrace the fire. If the choice is not made voluntarily, then expect some cataclysmic changes to shake the foundations on which your lives are built, to test if it's sand or rock. See, when the storms of life come, Jesus taught a parable. If you're built on the rock, which he was essentially describing himself, then the house will not fall. If you're built on the sand, then there's no strong foundation. So we need to look at areas of our life and see what it's built on. And it isn't just guaranteed that it's all on one thing. It's like we may have areas of our life that are built on the rock and some areas which are built on the sand. And when trouble comes, or the wind blows, or the storms of life come, that often tests what those areas are. Because sometimes we find ourselves falling apart when something happens, and then sometimes we find ourselves strong and firm when something else happens. So it's really important to see that God wants to enable our lives to stand on rock, but he needs to show us what those areas are, whether there are areas of sand as our foundation. And he does that by blowing a wind to see what shakes. Hebrews 12:27 is a description of that. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken. So if there are things that can be shaken and not built on solid rock in our lives, do we want them or do we want God to remove them? Well, if we want God to remove them, he needs to shake them to show us that they're not solid. As of created things, things that we have established ourselves, so those things which cannot be shaken, the things that are built on the solid rock of the kingdom of God, our relationship with Jesus, remain. So those things that will remain, and all those things that are not solid, he wants to remove. The question is, will we respond and accept that and allow him to do it? Verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, when you hear things like God is a consuming fire and don't understand his love, then you can be frightened by that or have the wrong view of what God is like. And then when it comes to judgment and justice, that will frame or shape what you believe. So it's really important that we understand that when God is engaging us in fire, is because he loves us and wants us to be pure and refined and holy. The question is, are we willing to embrace the fire of God's love expressed in the shaking of our foundations, or do we try and avoid it? Or are we asking God, shake the foundations of my life so that all the sand can be removed and all the rock can be replacing it? You can be proactive about this. Jesus actually says it's better to fall on the rock than the rock fall on you. Because God loves us so much that he will put the squeeze on us, if need be, because he wants us to come into the fullness of who we are. And if we have sand in our lives, it hinders us from doing that. So what is judgment? Judgment is not punishment or bringing bad things on people. John 4:8, God is love. Romans 4:2, or do you not think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It's always God's love and kindness that draws us. He doesn't use a big stick and fear to try and get us to come into a relationship with him. Because if we come into him, into a relationship based on fear, like, oh, I don't want to go to hell, I don't want to be punished, then we come in on a negative basis. And we don't fulfill God's purpose for our lives because we're always conscious of the fear rather than the love. 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So if judgment comes to the church and God identifies within the church those things that are not in pattern with heaven, then the world will have an opportunity to see the true church revealed. Rather than looking at the religious institutions that it looks like now and thinks they're irrelevant and no one wants to bother, which is why this room and every other building today is not filled. Now the church is people. And God wants to reveal us as his sons and people who will demonstrate the light and truth of what it really means to be in a relationship with God, that everyone will turn around and say, I want that. You know, a lot of people, I was talking to a lady this week, she said, I got saved because I saw in people something that I wanted. Never had any idea what it was. They told me it was Jesus, and I said, I'll receive it then. Now she's walking with God because she saw something of the light and wanted the light. Now she described her life as a mess at the time. When our life isn't a mess, sometimes we just think, oh, well, it's okay. Often it's times of crisis that turns us to cause us to look at our life and think, do I really want to carry on like this? Or do I want something better? And a cry comes out from the church, I believe, in deep in our hearts, there must be more than this. And God wants to reveal the more than this. So judgment is just a decision for or against, that a judge makes a verdict. So the result of judgment is a choice being given to the world who will see God reflected in the true ecclesia of God. Yeah, that's the household. In the Old Testament, it was called the household. In the New Testament, it was called the ecclesia. The Greek word church doesn't enter into it. And we've used the word church as an English Anglo-Saxon word to describe something which actually has a totally different meaning in both Hebrew and Greek. Because when we think of church, or when the world thinks of church, it thinks of buildings or meetings or religious institutions rather than people gathered into and expressing the light. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ. As sons, who are co-heirs, joint heirs, fellow heirs, we need to learn how to judge. To life, not death. Jesus said, don't judge or you'll be judged. And what he was saying is, don't bring judgment that brings death. Always bring judgment that brings an opportunity to choose life. And that's a totally different understanding of judgment. 1 Corinthians 6:2, or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that you will judge angels? How much more the matters of this life? So judgment is part of what we're called to do. So it's really important we need to learn to understand how to do it. So we must learn to judge, we must learn to legislate, we must learn to exercise dominion or rule or government. We must mature as sons in our functions in lordship and kingship. We must learn to have charge of the house of God and his courts. That's what we've been called to do, not just to be subject to everything that goes on earth, but in heaven to establish the things, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And to establish those things, so that heaven is manifested on earth through our lives and what we do. God said this, my judgments will continue intensity for the next 3 years, accompanied by increasing justice, grace, and mercy. For wherever I judge, I will give every opportunity to choose life. There will be love bombs of grace and mercy released from the weapons room of heaven to establish new wells and redig the old wells blocked by religion. God hates religion. Because religion puts us in bondage to earning God's favor and love, and we never can. And if we're continually trying to earn God's love and favor, we don't receive the grace and mercy that he's offering us freely so that we can fulfill our purpose. Blueprints will be released from for new wineskins to form new storehouses to reshape old structures and systems where there is true humility and repentance. The old way of doing things can be reshaped if people embrace it, because we're in that process. If we don't say, well, we've got it all right and this is it, but we're saying, actually, God, show us what it really is, and we're willing to embrace what you reveal to us, then there is a possibility that old things can be renewed and restored and made whole, but only with humility and repentance. I'm going to make my judgments focused against the religious spirits that currently plague my people. So God is going to come and bring judgments against the religious, because religion keeps people in bondage. I'm going to expose the hypocrisy of the old Moses order of mountains, remove the mass from those who will not cross into their heavenly inheritance and who hinder others crossing. Exactly what the generation of Moses did. They came to the promised land and gave a bad report. And God is going to expose those who are giving a bad report and hindering people coming into the fullness of their inheritance. Great will be the fall of many houses when the masts are removed and the fires of holiness will rage. Jesus said he would build his ecclesia. Paul stated that it would be through the ecclesia that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known. So I'm not against the true church, the ecclesia of God. I believe and I'm committed to that being the primary way God's kingdom will fill the earth. All the parachurch organizations and all the things out there that are seeking to do God's will are generally because the ecclesia actually has not been what God had called it to be. And God wants to establish that it's gatherings of people coming together around God's vision and blueprint that he will use. So we need a new wineskin for the new wine. We cannot use an old wineskin. Jesus said it would just burst. So it's important that we don't try and use an old wineskin with some new patches. Because we can get some new things and try and patch up the old. And actually God wants to give us a new wineskin for new wine, because new things are coming and the old won't be able to contain them or outwork them. So it's really important we don't mix old and new wine together. And God is calling, the judgment is, this is old wine, this is new wine, which one are you going to drink? Because one will keep you in the old and the other will enable you to embrace the new. We must be really careful that the old does not pollute the new. And there's always a temptation to bring old things of comfort into what we're doing and to default to old ways of thinking and old ways of operating. So we always got to be aware, what is God calling us to do and how he's calling us to do it, so we can do it according to a heavenly pattern, not an earthly. So God has made his judgments, the authority of the old has ended, and the new has come. Now, in a transition between old and new, there is often a mixture. Like when the sea comes in into a river, you get what's called brackish water, which is not much good for anything. Because salt water things like salt water and fresh water things like fresh water. And so God also says at times, I'd rather you were hot or cold, because lukewarm I don't like. God does not like mixture. So he wants to establish something new. Now, I was called to present a case before the Court of 70. And some people call it a galactic council, which sounds really fancy. But in reality, it just means it's got a wide sphere of government. And that was for judgment. And God asked me to do this, and I was very reticent to do it. He asked me to do it in 2012 into 13, and I wasn't ready to do it then. You know, so I said no, you know, because I wasn't ready. And he put me through an intense period of change to get me ready. So he said this, the case is to be made against the old Moses order on the basis of, is it a reflection of heaven governmentally? That's what he was asking me to look at. Now I'm looking at, how do I do that? So I had to learn how to present and make a case. And this is a high level case, you know, what they call a class action case. It's not just one thing against one situation. It brings a whole lot of things to bear. And God wants to do this right now. So all the cases that God wants us to make must be based on his precepts, not on our thinking and our ideas. So that is what this represents. Heaven, God is on his throne as a bench of three. He releases blueprints onto the earth and they form a shadow. Now what people have done is they've seen heavenly vision and they've built a mountain on top of it. And they've sat on top of the mountain. And you can do this for your own life. Pastors, prophets, apostles sat on top of the mountain, mediators, coverings, not allowing people to see and hear God for themselves, but doing it for them. God does not want that. That's what he's bringing judgment against. So when he sees that, he is removing the authority that has been there and changing it. So what does he want? He wants to see a shadow on the earth and a reflection of that. So that the bench of three, government in an earthly perspective, is foundational. It does not cover people, sit on top of people, mediate between God and man. It encourages people to hear God for themselves and find where they fit into God's blueprint, his shadow, so that that can be filled on the earth. So God is looking at all what we call church and saying, what does it look like? Which pattern does it represent? So then once I'd done that, and God is often Jehovah sneaky, I thought I was just going to do one case, and I was sort of looking at this one case, and then he said, right, now you can do three more cases and present them before the Court of 70. On the basis of the judgment verdict, then I was asked to present a case for justice. On the basis of justice, I presented a case for grace to be released to the new order. On the basis of grace, I presented a case for mercy to abound. And I'll go into each of these over the next couple of weeks. So what I learned about the protocols of aligning those 12 houses and the precepts meeting the precepts became the basis for preparing those cases. I first saw the Council of 70 in 2013, as I said, and the council actually meets for four periods of 70 days starting in February each year for just judgment, justice, grace and mercy. So the case for the council was prepared in three parts. And I didn't understand this, so I asked God to show me and I asked wisdom to help me. So what do I do? How do I present a case? I mean, I'm not a lawyer. It's like I don't know how to present an earthly case in a law court. I've been in a court and seen a few things, seen a few episodes of different TV things that are all about justice, law and order and stuff like that. So I think I see some of the things, but okay, God had to show me. So he said, base it on my eternal precepts, statutes in law, the what was, the evidence of what exists in what is, and the declarations of what will be. So you base it in who God is, what you see as evidence, and what changes you want to see produced as a result of the verdict. So I was given really clear instructions. God said, spend 35 days in preparation, present the case on day 35, spend 35 days administering the verdict. So this is quite an intense thing because it was very direct and I had to learn how to do this. So the case for judgment was first and foundational for all the others. And so this is what I did this year. I spent the 35 days, I presented the case for each of those things and I ordered it. So I wouldn't remember, I created a spreadsheet and I reminded myself of the days and I spent time preparing. Now, why am I sharing this? Because we're all called to understand how to prepare cases. You may not present a case to the court of 70 right now, but many of you are part of benches of three. Many of you have authority on mountains. You certainly have authority for your own life and the spheres of government that God's called you to operate in. Do you want to just go and be under the circumstances of what's going on around your life? Or do you want to administrate rule into it? So it's really important. The highest level case, or the simple case for what happens to you on a daily basis, is made on the same basic foundation. Understanding who God was, is, and will be, and how that needs to be brought into place. So I want to release this as what is possible for all of us to engage and understand a case and seeing a verdict. Now, I'm just like everyone else. I'm just as special as you are. Because I'm special and so are you. Because God always sees us uniquely, individually, perfectly made and special to him. All of us with a plan and purpose for our lives. And God wants us to experience that. So I was willing to pursue that, which is part of my destiny, and undergo some transformation in the fires of heaven. And I do continually look for that transformation to enable me to be more effective in what I'm doing. So everyone here in this room and everyone who's listening to this is called to sonship and called to heavenly governmental responsibility. So I didn't understand how to do it, so I went to wisdom and I looked at the court of 70 and thought, people will ask, well, where's the court of 70 in the Bible? Because everyone wants to see, where is it in the Bible? Well, there's lots of things that are in the Bible and there are also lots of things that aren't, but they have foundation there. So Moses had a council of 70 elders. Those 70 elders went with him into heaven and ate in the realms of heaven. Now, you may not have known that, but if you read what went on Mount Sinai when the law was being given, 70 elders went with him into heaven. The Sanhedrin, or 70 judges in Israel, is again following the same pattern. So when Jesus was going to be put to death, they couldn't just do that sort of judgment in a bench of three in any sort of ecclesia or kahal. They had to go to the Council of 70 to make life and death decisions, which is why they took him to the Sanhedrin to make that judgment that he could be put to death. And so the Council of 70 deals with life and death things on a cosmic basis. So I had no idea how to do this. Wisdom helped me, and she showed me that I'd already learned the basic procedure when I was looking at the Circle of the Deep. So I think, oh, okay, that's helpful. So God said to me this, make your case based on my precepts, what was, my statutes, what is, my laws, what will be, present the evidence, call for the verdict, call for the results of the verdict will release my ordinances, so things will change. So I thought, okay, I've got some clear idea of what to do. So present the evidence of your case for judgment. Now, this is what I presented. Now, again, get my heart here. I asked God for this evidence. You know, I sought him about what the evidence was. I didn't just come up with it. And this is what he said. And this is how I presented the evidence. Failure to prepare for the harvest. Failure of fivefold ministries to equip the church. Building empires and monuments to ego and narcissism. Building the reputations of men. Robbing the glory from God. Keeping the people of God earthbound. Defending sacred cows of theology and doctrine. Following defeatist dispensationalist doctrines of demons. Employing fear, intimidation, and manipulating from the mountaintop pedestals. Making a generation dependent slaves. Failure to lead the people into their destinies and full inheritances. Failure to respond to my calls to intimacy, friendship, relationship, to be good stewards. Creating the religious systems from the pathway of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Employing a form of godliness but denying its true power and meaning. Establishing businesses out of worship and celebrities out of servants. Moses' generation has been weighed on the scales of justice and found wanting. These are results of the verdict that I began to call for. And again, I asked God what these should be. Here I'm calling for judgment of the old, to remove that which is old and false, and to reveal and release that which is true and new. I call for judgment to be found in favor of the new order, according to the precepts, statutes, and laws of God. I call for the council to pass judgment on the old order and remove its scroll so that every wilderness mountain could be made low. I call the council to pass judgment to remove the candlestick of light of the testimony from the old order. I call the council to issue the sound judgment that will call out the people of God from darkness to light, call for the true ecclesia of heaven and earth to in union to arise. I call for the Joshua generation, according to the order of Melchizedek, to arise. I call for the circle of the deep and the 12 houses to come into alignment that calls and commissions the ambassadors of heaven to come forth on the earth. I call forth the blueprints of the city of refuge. Greater grace, manifold grace, and grace upon grace was decreed. The court decreed that we were going to have that. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds really good to me. An increase. And we're going to start to see that come about. The verdict of the council has released a new season where blueprints are being released for new ecclesia wineskins. A new level of government authority is available to establish the heavenly foundations of the new order, ecclesia, and cities of refuge. So there's increase and there's authority released. Then in April 2015, God said, "Son, I mandate and authorize you to prepare the case for justice," which was a shock because I thought I was going to have a rest then for the rest of the year. Didn't happen. And God said this, "The foundation of my throne, my will and purpose for my people to administer the government of heaven. Prepare your case on my precepts, statutes and laws and call for just ways and eternal sacrifice. I am the sacrifice. Justice is my nature. When revealed as love, it overcomes all darkness with light, the light of justice. The eternal purpose has always been love, the essence of all judgment and justice. Love, the truest expression of who I am. Love reconciles, love separates. Justice expresses love to separate light to reveal darkness." Justice. Well, what does it mean? "The fair and equitable administration of my blessings to have my harmonious desire for unity of heart, mind, and purpose universally accepted." So I'm really interested in that because I want to see change take place. It's great having a verdict. You see, someone can be given the verdict, "You are innocent." What would you expect justice to be if someone was innocent? Them to be let out of jail, basically. If the verdict was guilty, justice would be, the sentence needs to be passed. So when God wants justice, he's basically saying he wants to see everything restored back to harmony and understanding of his heart, mind, and purpose. Justice must be based on the ancient ways and the eternal sacrifice, because Jesus was sacrificed before the foundation of the world. The eternal purpose has always been love, the essence of all judgment and justice. Love, the truest expression of I am. Love reconciles, love separates, but justice, and you know, this several times God repeated this to me. "On the basis of the justice of the cross, I call the church systems to face the truth. I call for the witness of the present lack of authority and power. I call for the failure of the leaders to administrate justice to be put into evidence. I call for the injustices of the world systems under the lawlessness of the enemy's control to be put into evidence. I call for the failure of the church to administer and govern the cosmos and bring order out of chaos to be placed into evidence. I call for the greed of corporate agendas to be placed into evidence. I call for the failure of the church to express the manifold wisdom and grace of God to the systems of government to be placed into evidence. I call for the failure to subdue, rule the cosmos to be placed into evidence. I call for the failure to administrate the everlasting doors as heads and gates to be placed into evidence. I call for the lack of rule and heavenly government to administrate the affairs of the nations and to establish culture based on love to be placed into evidence. The failure of the fivefold ministry order to be a royal priesthood and govern in the pattern of heaven to be placed into evidence. The failure to subdue lawlessness to be placed into evidence. The failure of the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of the Lord to be placed into evidence. The self-serving, selfish church indifference to the world in chaos and disorder to be placed into evidence. I call for agents of change to be released to administrate justice. I call for the true government of the Ecclesia of God to arise, rule, and administrate justice on the earth. I call for the restoration of things, all things, that have been lost or stolen. I call for Satan's trophy room to give up its treasure and for the seven generations of heritage to be restored. Now, God told me what to do. I'm just doing what he told me. I call for cities of refuge to be established to be the judicial places of justice for the peoples. I call for discipleship of the nations on the basis of judgment of God against the religious institutions. I call for justice for all who are oppressed by religious systems. I call for all destinies that have been restricted and controlled to be set free into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. I call for restoration of all inheritance for the people of God. I call for the people of God to see their inheritance as revealed by the blue light of heaven's call to cross over the veil into their royal positions of priesthood. I call for the true ecclesia of God to come out of the wilderness, to leave the old Moses order control systems. I call for the realignment of the 12 houses to release the ordinance of heaven, the judges of the earth to arise and let justice come forth. I call for the judicial administration of heaven to be released. Let the mantle scrolls be released to commission new ordered judicial authority to take charge of the legislative courts of heaven to administer justice. I call for the oracle scribes and legislators to be released. I call for the mantles and scrolls of chancellors to be prepared and the governmental seals be revealed. I call for justice for all those who have been robbed of their heavenly positions by the Moses and previous generations. I call for all the religious veils of deception to be removed so God's people can see, feel the frequency of heaven's sound and answer its call. I call for restrictions of prejudice based on color, class, race, nationality to be removed and all injustice for those in oppressed to be lifted. Justice is according to the verdict passed. The Moses generation must end for the Joshua generation to take its place. Justice is passing of the mantle from Moses to Joshua. Justice is the anointing and glory of my presence being passed. Justice is the authority and responsibility for my created order being passed. Justice is the succession of the old Moses order as it dies and the invested new Joshua order takes its place. Justice is the removal of the old order and the enthronement of the new. Justice is the exposure of the methodology, philosophy, and mindsets and governance of the old Moses order. Justice is my removal and desolation of the old Moses order. And when it talks about desolation, Jesus is talking there about leaving it empty. This is what he did when he left the temple empty. He walked away and said, "Behold, your house is desolate." So God is going to leave the authority. Now let me just say this. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he will always be there. Where people praise and worship him, he will always inhabit their praises. So God is not going to walk out and leave people. Even if they are operating in an old legal and governmental system, because he's going to be present to try and draw them into something new. Sometimes it's difficult because of what they're under, but God will always come and meet with people where they have a desire to worship him. So God is not saying, right, I'm leaving all that old lot of people. What he's saying is, I'm establishing something new, which will be demonstrating the light so they can see the light and actually want to come into their inheritance, which is exactly what Joshua and Caleb did. They went into the promised land, saw the amazing promises that this belonged to them, a land flowing with milk and honey and fruit the size of, you know, grapes the size of whatever, pineapples, I don't know what it was, but large, wonderful things. And they said, this is a good report. And the others said, no, we can't go in there. We'd rather stay in the wilderness, in our comfort zones, because actually we're seeing miracles and signs and wonders. Food is provided for us every day supernaturally. Well, we're having water come out of rocks. You know, we're having the things separated, amazing miracles. But Moses did them all. Under the Joshua generation, we're all called to do them. We're all called to demonstrate the kingdom. It's a totally different way of operating. Not one person doing it on behalf of others, but each person equipping each other in discipleship to do it. Totally different dimension. Justice is the revealing of the glory of the sons in heaven in preparation for their revealing on the earth. Justice is the land being possessed by my people with true governmental authority. Justice is the manifestation of my kingdom rule in preparation for the harvest of laborers. Justice is the release of the scrolls, mantles, weapons according to the ordinances of God. Sun, call for the alignment of the houses for the next season in preparation for justice to end the judgments as the season of my counsel. Call forth the chancellors to a new alignment and order. Begin the new legislative order once justice has been done. Psalm 72:2, just so you put this in context. May he judge your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. Psalm 97:2, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. God's intention always is that we would come into this. So all of us are called to establish rule and government in our lives, through our lives, in heaven and on the earth. To bring judgment and justice righteously, we need that encounter with love. If we do not understand love, we will operate in a wrong understanding of judgment and justice. God is love, and his love is eternal. Everything in the kingdom is about love. Let's really engage with that love today. We have an opportunity of experiencing God's love, which will change and transform our lives, free us from all the injustice that has operated in our lives, and bring us into a totally different new order. Let God's love transform us. Let it empower us. Let it motivate us to actually bring judgment and justice into our life, to see transformation into this town, into this region, into this nation, into the nations of this planet, so that the affairs of the nations are ordered according to heaven, that the culture of this world is aligned with heaven, not the earth. God is waiting to see a manifestation of his children who are willing to take responsibility to establish judgment and justice. Next week, I'm going to go into grace and mercy, which I'd much rather talk about, but you can't talk about grace and mercy without the context of judgment and justice. We're in a time and season which we need to be prepared and to engage so that we can receive what God is doing in our lives that will equip us to be his sons on the earth. To take responsibility, not to sit back and watch it all go by, but to say, no, God's purpose, his kingdom, is to see change. He wants heaven, God's kingdom, on earth, as it is in heaven. He's looking for us. So I'm going to, again, just decree these declarations over you and whoever's listening to this. And then as we engage in worship today, as we praise God, as we seek him, allow his love to encounter us. That will change us and enable us to see who we are, our identity as sons of God, and the responsibility that he's given us. Whether you're on a mountain here of our seven mountains, whether you're part of the leadership of government here, each one of you is called to administrate government over your own life. The seven spheres that each of you have that God has given you as part of your destiny. Are you willing to embrace it? So I call for judgment and justice. I call for the love of God to be poured out. I call for the love bombs from eternity to be released from the weapons house, exploding into our hearts. I call for the eternal love between Father, Son, and Spirit to be poured out into our hearts, transformational love flowing out of heaven. I call for a new dimension of love beyond measure, understanding to be released into our lives. I call for greater grace, manifold grace, and grace upon grace to be released. I call for mercy that triumphs over judgment, flowing out of heaven into our spirits like a stream flowing into our hearts. I call for love stronger than death, the song of all songs to be released over us today. I call for the love that we can never be separated from, that will never fail, that will never run out, be released over us today. I call for God to manifest his full presence as love, like a rushing wind, like a tsunami, wave after wave of unquenchable love. So take that and receive that and experience it today. And open up your hearts and allow God's love to change and transform you like you've never been touched before. Because God's here, he wants to manifest his presence. Engage with the angelic realm that he sends. He may send the seraphim. We have the four angels here of transformation, winds of change, sound of many waters, and refining fire. We have the seven spirits of God here. We have the four living creatures who manifest, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. We can engage in heaven here because heaven is open and it can overlap. Be open to step in and experience everything that God has for you today.